Why were they afraid? These people had come to see what had happened. Those who came from the city and the country, when they saw the man from whom the demons had gone healed, sitting at Jesus' feet, under control, clothed in his right mind, why did this make them afraid? When they hear again the eyewitness accounts of how Jesus had healed the man, why were they seized by great fear? Why weren't they celebrating, rejoicing that the man had been restored and could be part of their community again? Rejoicing that this man had come into their midst who could bring healing of even the worst things. Why are they afraid? After thinking about it and having conversation with folks this week, I think there are a number of reasons. Apparently, demons have to go somewhere. The abyss, pigs, other people. And so if this guy Jesus could move evil spirits out of people, could he not also move them in? Where did that evil spirit go once the pigs were dead? So is the fear because they don't know Jesus? The character of the man who has power even over the demonic, and they fear what he might do, that he might use that power against them. Another reason they could be afraid is because Jesus disrupts their social order. They had established themselves and their relationship with this man as the one who was possessed by demons. That was their relationship to him. And now they're afraid of what the loss of that could mean. They ask questions. What will this healed man bring into our society? What will change just because he is now among them healed, different from before? They knew how to live with him as possessed. But now they don't know how to live with him healed. And they're afraid of that change. And I can see this. Regardless of possession of demons, just bringing someone new into any group can change, some might say destroy, the dynamics that are already at play in that group. I saw this happen with a colleague of mine a number of years ago. He got a call to a congregation here in Iowa, decent-sized church, mid-sized town, had a college nearby. Now, the church he went to had some long-running tensions between those who were a part of that church because they worked at the college and those who had deep roots in the town. But they had a long-term pastor and associate, and everyone had kind of established their place long ago, enough to get along. There was a stasis in everything. Now, to describe what happened next, I always think about it in terms of a puzzle with four pieces. Two of those pieces were the different groups within the congregation, those folks who were rooted in the college and those who were rooted in the town. The other two were the long-term senior pastor and his associate. So, remove one of those puzzle pieces, the one belonging to the long-term senior pastor, and bring in a new piece, my friend. Now, my friend is a unique kind of guy to begin with, but regardless, he's going to be different from his predecessor, right? To use the analogy, his puzzle piece will be shaped differently from the other pastor. So what happens when you try and put him into the puzzle, into that space previously occupied by the other pastor? He's going to cross some boundaries, right? Can't help it. He's a different person, shaped differently. Now, in most healthy congregations, there's always a little bit of friction when someone new shows up as people readjust the space that is taken up. They kind of make room for each other until they finally settle into their new shape within the bounds of the puzzle. But in this case, the underlying friction that already existed meant that there was no room or desire to move. And instead of addressing the root conflict within the congregation between the two groups of members, the congregation attacked my friend for what he did. And after what became an awful 9 months of attacks on him and his family, my friend left the congregation. So the Gerasenes' fears of the challenges the man from whom the demons had gone would present to them are well founded. His presence would cause them to rethink everything, to change how they lived together, if nothing else. And I wonder if that's not the biggest fear of all. Change. Perhaps there's even a bit of fear in the man who is possessed by demons. It's not clear in the text exactly who is talking each time he speaks, and I wonder if it is at least partially his voice that cries out, "Do not torment me." In the face of being healed by Jesus, of being freed of this torment of the legion, I wonder if he got scared. What would it be like? How will I live? Will my friends and family take me back? Will I ever be seen as anything but the man who formerly had demons? Can I truly start over? These are valid and scary questions all. See, all he had known for some extended period of time was living this life, possessed, naked, uncontrolled, out of his mind. What was next if Jesus did this thing? I talked a couple of weeks ago about the power of the Holy Spirit, how that power is dangerous because it is out of our control, because it has the power to change things whether we want it to or not. Well, Jesus has that same power. That same wild, uncontrolled power of God to transform us, to heal us of all those things that possess us. And if we stop to really think about it, I wonder if it doesn't scare the daylights out of us too. Some of us have things that obviously control our lives. Addictions to substances, alcohol, drugs, to things, pornography, gambling, our phones, computer games. But I think each of us also has those things we recognize as parts of ourselves that might not be what or how we want them to be, but that the thought of giving up scares us because it's part of us. Part of our understanding of who we are, because we know how to live with it, and the thought of living some other way is terrifying. Even when we're living in situations that are unhappy, that we see are things we cannot sustain, that are unhealthy, still we stay there because it's what we know. Because the fear of what will happen is greater than the fear of what is happening. I know that effect firsthand. How hard it is to make the move to change the situation. And I've heard that expressed time and again from people in abusive relationships and other unhealthy living situations. And so in this way, I think we can all appreciate the fear of the Gerasenes. Jesus' coming has shifted the foundation of all they held to be true, of what they knew, of how they lived together. As one author put it, we often prefer the devil we know to the freedom we do not. And it's true of individuals with our addictions and abuse and communities as well. Think about growth, dealing with unhealthy relationships or power dynamics. But we have an advantage over the Gerasenes, don't we? Because we know Jesus and who He is. I mean, part of their fear is they don't know who He is exactly. I mean, He comes from the other side of the Sea of Galilee. He's a Jew. They're Gentiles. But we know Jesus, Son of God, come down to give us life, life fuller and more abundant. Jesus, who desires only good for us, who's come to heal us, the one who we can trust because Jesus has gone to the cross for love of us. We know that Jesus appreciates how scared we are, that Jesus has seen and knows the fear that we experience. And we know that even with the awesome power that He possesses, Jesus does everything He does not out of any kind of malice or desire for power, but out of love, care, desire for the good for us. That His love is agape, other-centered. And such knowledge does not necessarily make us less afraid, but I think it puts our fear into perspective to give us the courage, the faith, to trust. That gives us the power through the Holy Spirit to let go of those things in our lives that possess us, so that we might sit clothed and in our right minds at the feet of Jesus. And so this day, my fellow believers, whether you are fearful or confident, dip your fingers into the waters of baptism and be reminded that God has claimed you. Taste the bread and wine. That is the power-filled reminder of how much Jesus loves us. And then go into this world healed and proclaim confidently what God in Jesus Christ has done for you. Amen.